Okay, there we go. Well, let's pray with me for a moment and we'll get started. Okay, Heavenly Father, we want to say thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the blessing of life. Thank you for the chance to come together with friends and brothers and sisters, both here in this place and all over the world that would be listening to this, both live and in the future. And we just want to say thank you for the chance to come together around your word and the spirit of truth and all that you intend for us. And so as we just spend some time reading the scriptures and going through and discussing and pondering and expounding on truth that you've revealed in so many different ways and truth you reveal within us, we just ask that you would bring clarity and minister to each and every one of us through your spirit that's within us and around us and surrounds each and every one of us. So we bless this time and we are grateful for it. In Jesus' name. All right. Okay, so let's begin. If you've got your Bibles with you, if you can, you can go to Jeremiah chapter, and this is kind of a foundational verse that's there. Jeremiah chapter 11, chapter 29. And I'm going to begin at verse 11. Now, in the old days, you'd hear a lot of pages rustling, but nowadays it's all the computers on the phones. Okay, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Okay, just going to start with that one. Now, there's all types of backgrounds in scriptures. People can approach scriptures from different perspectives. You can approach it from a historical perspective. You can approach it from the story. But one way that we're doing this particular study is we're going by the way of principles and looking for the ways that and the principles that that our Creator, the source of all things, how we see operations within this realm and the activities that take place here. Now, there's been a lot that's happened here on this planet. There's been a lot that everybody has dealt with and gone through. And in the phases of life and the different things that people have experienced, humanity has experienced a lot of uncertainty. And we, in particular, live in what would be considered at this moment very uncertain times. So this part of this one that we're going to go to through today is, and the title for today is Certainty in Uncertain Times. And so when we start to begin to look at where certain pieces come from of how we relate to our reality and certainty and uncertainty and what happens when we exist in these different states. Now, this scripture here, a little bit background, historical, but Jeremiah, the captivity, all the things that ended up happening to the people of Israel according to the story here, they went through an incredible amount of uncertain times, and there are certain things that they were looking forward to in their restoration and the process of that. Now, when we start looking at the kind of things that led into that uncertainty and the kind of things that led to that complication even in their own existence, and then how that pertains to then their experience of life, uncertainty is a byproduct of a way that people relate to reality. And a lot of times what happens is that when we have an unsure foundation, and those foundations can be in different ways, physical, mental, spiritual. In these different foundations, when there is an unsure foundation, when those things get tested, by the circumstances and the situations of life, in that process, that's when people truly discover that there is that those foundations aren't solid, and then the uncertainty that results from that in those different areas. And this is why somebody can be very strong spiritually, but in their body they could have a weakness, and then that body gets tested, and then that results in uncertainty that crosses into everything. Likewise, somebody can be very physically strong and capable, but they've not developed their mind and their mental faculties, and then in life, when things are called upon for them to reason, understand, make certain key decisions, and they haven't had that training, that background, that expertise, that focus for themselves, now they have uncertainty, which then bleeds over into those other areas. So when we talk about wholeness, we're talking about wholeness for the whole person. When we talk about health, we're talking about health not in segmented compartments, but in the wholeness of our being. So we talk about body, we talk about mind, we talk about spirit. Because you can't, if you just address one, you're missing a lot of the other parts of the being. So this is part of where we have to expand our approach to even what health is and what health means for us to actually be able to have solutions in these areas. Because too often, how often have we seen, around the world, there are people that stand up as quote-unquote ministers of health that look like the furthest thing detached from anything that would be healthy in any one of those regards. And yet they're out there speaking to populations and trying to instruct people. So we have to have a consistency between what we bring forward and who we also are and who we strive to be and who we work towards being and how we build that up in and among ourselves. So now the backdrop of where we are right now, this July 7th, where we are in the world right now, is an incredible uncertain times. And a lot of people in this uncertain times, they are now realizing the weaknesses in their foundations in the different aspects of their beings, of where they've said life is important. And so you know that acronym for fear, right? What is fear?
Fear is
false expectations appearing real. So fear is false expectations appearing real. And this there's a frequency to fear, there's a mindset to fear, there's a spirit behind fear, sometimes there's very real physical dynamics that can trigger a fear response because of things that are innate in our own being. So in those lines, it's not fear in and of itself is an emotion, it's a feeling, it's a response. But to stay in a state of fear is something very different. Now there are purposes why systems work to try to keep you in a state of fear. There's actually an objective for that. So in the world of advertising, there's a couple of things that always sell. Sex and death. And why? Because those are tied to very strong emotional, physiological, mental connections and responses. So same thing with fear. Fear elicits a response. When you are fearful, you will do things that you wouldn't otherwise do if you were not fearful. If you have your rational senses about you and you have the time and the space to make certain decisions, then you're able to do those in that window. But if you don't have that, and you're compressed, how often will a scam artist, for example, in your own experience, how often will a scam artist try to make you do something very quickly? You know, it's hurry up and do something dumb. You know, that's the goal of... That's something that the devil always wants to work on getting us to do. Hurry up and do something dumb. Make a decision under compulsion. Make a decision under a time constraint. Make a decision without having all your faculties around you. Make a decision out of a place of fear. Now when you actually false assumptions appearing real. This false expectations appearing real, when you address those false expectations, when you actually look at them for what they are, they dissipate when you actually take a step back. So, so in principle, a quick thing to look at is where is the source, where was the source of your certainty before the fear was there? Because a lot of people begin and set their lives in a particular way, and they build their certainty on something. And when they do that, it's, you have to go back and look at those places where that certainty was placed, and then you can also see, now, was that misplaced certainty? So I'll give you some that, that the world puts out to people and people oftentimes go into. So one of the things in the world is money. You know, if you have, if you accumulate enough of this, then you can, you will be able to. Welcome, welcome. Come, come, come. All right. Welcome, welcome. So the first thing is in line with certainty, right? So along the lines of what makes people, where do people actually place their certainty, and then the repercussions of that when that's tested. So one of them is in the world is money. So people put confidence in that, accrue as much of it as they can, but now what happens when that's been misplaced? Now we're all learning a lot about the uncertainty of Federal Reserve notes and fiat currency and how that value can be stripped away in an instant because there's nothing backing it. So we're all learning, the world is getting a crash course in the certainty and the misplaced nature of what happens in a monetary system that is not built for and by the people. So we're learning different things about places that certainty can be misplaced and the repercussions of that. Another place that people put certainty in is power, is in connections, is in their ability to make a phone call and get certain things done. And then, but what happens when nobody picks up your calls anymore? What happens when people are so absorbed in their own pain, their own struggles, their own problems, that now they're not able to get the things done that they used to be able to get done, and now that certainty is now being questioned. So there's a lot of that going on around the world right now, because a lot of people that used to be able to get things done a certain way, it's not working for them the way that they used to. And so now that, in that regard, the question we started there was, what is the source of your certainty? Now, this is where we, so here's one of the advantages of on a personal level, when a person sets their life on a path for truth, is that when we find out more and we want to adjust, you can always adjust based on truth as more truth is known, because your heart and your purpose was always for truth. So by doing that, if you have to make an adjustment, you can say, because you're vested, you don't have a vested interest in something specifically, your goal is for truth. So when you know more, then you can adjust and you can say, you know what, I was mistaken, that was a misallocation, I am going with what's the truth, so as I know this is now true, I will adjust to go with that. The difference is that if you don't have a heart for truth and your focus is on protecting a viewpoint, a personal agenda, whatever it may be, then you will go down with that ship when that thing is going away from truth. So a long time ago, a friend of mine who is a pastor, we were talking about something similar, and his explanation was, when you encounter truth, what most people do, either you change what you do or you change what you believe. So either you change what you do, which in the Christian Pentecostal world would be called repentance, you would change what you do, meaning align with truth, or you change what you believe, meaning, okay, you now are encountering something, and because that truth that you encountered doesn't fit with the narrative that you have subscribed to, Now you need to discount that narrative. Now you need to discount that truth. Now you need to find some other way to rationalize it away so that you're able to continue to go forward. The problem is cognitive dissonance, because the louder the truth gets, the more broad-based the truth becomes, the more difficult it becomes to get away from that truth, because now you face it each time you turn and you look a different way. Now there's more and more of that truth coming forward. What do you do with that? So now a lot of people are facing cognitive dissonance around the world because more truth is coming forward as the frequencies are elevating, as more information is being brought forward, as counter-narratives are being exposed. And so people are, even though they tried to change what they believed and go a different direction, the problem is that they're not able to get away from...
Absolutely.
They're not able to keep up with the truth as it's being revealed. So what is the source of your certainty? So a lot of the things that the world and the world system put their focus on, I mean, here's another one, education. There's a place where people put a lot of focus. Their belief was that if I got certain things done, check these boxes, that there would be but that was part of what was told to them. But what happens when that doesn't produce for people like the way they thought it would? I mean, in thousands of years ago, knowledge was kept in certain little places. Today, you can learn anything if you have the time and the discipline to apply yourself. But the question is, where's that information coming from? But the application is important. So, so what is the source of your certainty? So the difference between the world system and where all those things that are being shaken right now versus the when we're much more along the lines of the spiritual being, truth is a place of certainty. Because when you know truth, you will know the truth, and the truth will what? It will set you free. And so there's a freedom in knowing truth. Now, you may not like the truth. That's separate. That's a whole separate conversation. You might not like the truth, but when you know the truth, there is a freedom that comes from being willing to accept truth for what it is, even if it's ugly and even if it's inconvenient. And from a place of knowing what truth is, you can actually then go forward in making decisions that are based on something. I'll tell you one thing. In the world has so many different groups of people that gather information. There's intelligence apparatus, there's marketing agencies, and all those places, what are they looking for? They, even though they may put out all kinds of false information here and there and everywhere in campaigns and PR, but in the core level of those discussions and those conversations, they want to know what's actually going on. They actually want to know the truth, even so that they can twist it and turn it, but they want to know what the truth is, because if you don't have that, you don't have a basis for any kind of decision making. You can't make a decision based on a lie and hope that it goes somewhere bad. So even the most nefarious characters in the world put a premium on truth. They just don't want the people to have the truth.
Right.
So there is that element. So truth is in and of itself incredibly valuable. Another thing that is a place for certainty for a spiritual being is in being. We're human beings, you know, we're in being present and being, and also understanding too that a lot of these fears that we take on is because we borrow from tomorrow worries that we don't have to deal with, but we bring them into today and we're perplexed about those, and then the result of that is that actually ends up escalating when you could deal with just the concern of today. And when you deal with the concern of today, that will dramatically reduce all the other emotions you feel, because you're dealing with the problem at hand. And many times when we just deal with the problem at hand, we can actually move forward and we can deal with the larger thing. That whole adage about how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. So the same way that we do any of these things. Same way that we build... the Ministry of Health. It's one bite at a time. It's an undertaking, but it's one bite at a time. Another piece too of a place of certainty is knowledge and understanding. When we know more, again back to the basis of truth, but when we know and when we understand, there's a lot of power and a lot of certainty in being able to know what to do. So this is why, even with, say, so for example, Cynthia, you're an ER doctor, so you know what to do in those
family medicine.
Sorry, but you know, in by having a certain set of training, when things come to you, and they come into your world, you're not blindsided. You've had, and so there's knowledge and understanding will give an ability to then know where to then go and proceed forward. So this is part of our own learning, our own personal discipline, and this is where everything that you learn, you're the first beneficiary of it in your own life. So it is always worthwhile to learn and to understand. And there's parables about that. You know, there's plenty of things, plenty of proverbs. This is part of how we should be training our the next generation, is the value of learning and understanding and knowing how to action things. Okay, we're going to jump to Luke chapter 7. I'm going to read something to you from here. And Luke chapter 7 and verse 1. Now when he had ended all his sayings to the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house of the centurion, sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldst enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh. And to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he had come nigh to the city gate, to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the brier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet has risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region around about, and the disciples of John shewed him all these things. Let's see. I'm just going to go a little bit further here. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Art thou he that should come, or look we for another? When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist hath sent us unto thee, saying, Art thou that should come, or look we for another? And in that same hour he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering saith unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. To the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Okay, so this particular chapter covers a lot of different aspects to life and to the uncertainties of life that people end up facing in their journey here. And one thing that is there's some very powerful principles that are also built into to these verses of how other people related to that uncertainty and how Jesus related to that uncertainty. Now, Jesus being an example of how to, showing us in human flesh how we can live our lives, and other people relating to that as well. Now, when the centurion had lost his servant, he still understood how certain principles worked. And in his application of those principles, in asking for help, he also knew there were certain things that he didn't... If you understand how a principle works and you're able to action that principle, it becomes, the value of it becomes real in your own life, and you can actually end up using that for yourself. So in this particular situation, the request that he wanted help for his servant, and a lot of people were saying that this, now he wasn't asking for himself, he was doing this on behalf of somebody that he loved and cared for, but he also knew that the help that could come for his servant would happen if he actioned a principle that he already understood. And the principle he understood was a principle of authority. And he understood how authority worked and how power flowed through authority. And actually, one of the reasons why our world is in such a mess is a lot of people don't understand how this principle works. And so...
How
authority works in their own lives, how authority works in structures, how things work to be able to make things and power can flow. And so in this particular example, he knew where things flowed from, and all he needed was that direction and that attention on this. And if somebody said the word that had the power, that then that thing would actually end up happening. So he didn't need the show, he didn't need the rigmarole, he didn't need the optics, he just needed the go-ahead. And a lot of times, even in our own lives, it's us using our authority and either giving the go-ahead or not, and canceling certain things, and there's power in that. So we know from even certain things that happen with that, you know, crossing sites with the WHO, we exercise a degree of authority in that particular situation, and we're still seeing the ramifications of that positively. So in this regard, one principle for us is to know when you have false expectations appearing real, i.e. fear, to also know where you can use, once you know and understand certain principles, you have authority in those principles to use those principles and action them and to make them real in your own life and in your own world. This is where taking a step back is always very powerful, and this is where having that time, whatever that practice is that you have for yourself, whether it's prayer, meditation, however you might do it, but when you stop and you are still and you go within and you connect, what that does is that also allows you to see actually things where they actually are coming from, what's actually going on, and then be able to then know how to engage in that and what that solution might look like. So sometimes you can get very busy. There was a principle that I learned when I was out in D.C. where activity is not necessarily productivity. We can be extremely active and not productive. And we can also be incredibly productive and not seemingly active. But there's a principle in just when you take a step and you stop and you are still and you take that time, what that does is it allows for you to then know the way to go forward and then how to engage and address certain things. So we see an example of how power flowed. This is one that's worth taking a little time reading on your own later. And the second part of this story is another example of incredible uncertainty. In this particular culture, when the mother lost her son, in that there is no social security, there is no safety net, this was it. And so in this particular situation, in this particular story, here is not just the loss of somebody that's a loved one, but also the certainty and the security that was there for this family going forward. And so when Jesus encounters this particular situation, and now notice also if we're seeing an example for how we relate, he doesn't just walk by. You know, there is an engagement there. And because there's that power there as well, and the utilization of the power that is there at hand, and he does something to address that situation. Now, sometimes what happens is, just if you take a step and you take an action, you are doing something in that same spirit, in that same likeness, in that same way. So we had an experience, three of us, the other day when we were walking back after some fireworks, and a young man had a bike crash close by. Now, you know, it's just that willingness to engage in doing something to assist somebody where they're at with what you can do in the moment. See, here's another part about us addressing all the issues that are going on around us. It doesn't mean we're going to solve and fix everything. But the thing you can do, we do. And the part that we can play, we play. And by doing that, we open ourselves up to be vessels where God can work through us, Source can work through us, the Most High will work through us. Because why? Because we've made ourselves available for that. See, a lot of people want God to do something, but they're not willing to put themselves in a position for that to happen. They want it to happen from the comfort of their armchair, from the comfort of everything they know and understand, and once they get all the pieces together and everything perfect and all of it signed off, and I know that it's going to be perfect and it's going to work between this little window on every Wednesday from 4 to 6, and yes, now I will join and I will do a review at the end of it. No, that's not how it works. Life is messy, and change comes, and there's flexibility. So it's the principle of how we relate to these things that is where also the power flows. It's so...
I like this very simple saying, something cannot come from nothing.
Yeah.
So you have to be very organized. Something cannot come from fancy and any fantastical or fantasy elements. It has to come from that causal principle of knowing that you are of the divine.
It begins with, there's always something that, there's another principle in that, which is there's always something that the Most High starts with. It can be the most simple thing. You know, it can be two loaves or two fish and five loaves and two fish. It can be, a little bit of oil in a jar, a little bit. It can be whatever it is. Moses is in a stick. I mean, this is just a principle that you see throughout the scriptures, but it's basically, what do you have to work with? And whatever you have to work with, as seemingly small as it might be, when you're willing to put your intention, your volition, your thought, your energy, and that little bit that you may have in your hand, it may just be a handful, but you put that into work and you put that into service, that's where you see the miraculous, that's where you see the multiplication, that's where you see the change, that's where you will all see it in what we're doing even here. You will see that because it's a universal principle. And it, by the actioning of that, see, the power comes in the action. By taking the action, that is the greatest expression of what you truly believe. Not what you say you believe, and not what you think you believe, but what you actually do is the expression of what you actually believe. And so if you truly believe that it's good for you to read a book, you will read a book. But if you truly believe it's good for you to watch TV, you will watch TV. Now, you may say you like to read a book, but it's just what you believe is what you end up doing. So the balance is going to be, you know, yes, life has balance, but it's just where you put your energy, your focus, and your attention, and your actions that are the manifestation of your true belief. So one last thing we'll close with this one is, When you feel uncertain, apply the truth. And so I'm going to And the truth, and I'm actually going to toss in truth as an acronym for today, just for the convenience of it, but the truth in and of itself, the universal truth, but also truth being trust, rationale, understanding, time, and help. So truth, trust. So actually the word faith is interchangeable with the word trust. So when and I sometimes people go into all these word studies and all that, but seen enough to see that that's an actually interchangeable word. The word faith and trust are can be considered even one and the same in some of the older languages. So when you have faith in something, you also trust something. You trust that something's... So when you feel uncertain, trust and know what... And where do you get faith from? Where do you get trust from? You get it also from experience. So when you've gone through life and you've seen that whenever you take a step, that the Most High is with you, right? After a while, you know that if He calls you to take a step, He'll be with you in that step because He's done it before and again and again and again and again. So why would He change the way that He works with you now? And He's taking you through those small things before so that you have an understanding for the bigger things that will end up coming. So the story of David started with a bear, then a lion, and eventually gets to a giant. But he had trust that had been built. He didn't start with the giant. So like right now, this is again too where in our own lives, when people avoid the tests of life and they avoid the challenges, you're actually doing a disservice to yourself because you're not allowing those faith muscles, those trust muscles to be strengthened for when you will need them later for the lion and for the giant. You've got to take on the bear first. You know, you've got to allow yourself to go through that. And this is again for the training of the younger generations. You want them to have the time to be able to learn so that they know that they can trust going forward. When you feel uncertain, the second one is the R, rationale. Rational thought is something that we can always apply if we can slow down and take emotion out of it. So a lot of times the things that people fear, if you look at what they really fear, there's a lot of things you can do to actually rationally address many of these things. So a lot of the fears that are being thrown on people right now, take those fears and stretch them out a little bit and say, okay, if your worst fear comes upon you, what does that look like? So if your worst fear comes upon you, what does that actually look like? And if you look at that and you address it rationally, you realize that one, it's not too bad. Two, you could probably address most of those things in just a few simple steps. And three, you probably have some ways that you can work long before that to keep that from ever happening. But when you let it stay in the emotional state, that's what consumes your mind, robs you of sleep, damages your emotions, damages your relationships, takes off your energy, drains you, and produces no useful outcome and benefit. So apply the rational mind, the rational thought to these things. And a good way to do that, the fancy name is cognitive artifacts, but write it down. Take a pen, take a piece of paper, whatever's in your mind. There's a very simple exercise, it's called a brain dump. If you feel like your mind is just running, sit down and just everything that's on your mind, just write it out. Everything that's going until, and if you stop and then more stuff comes, take a few more pieces of paper and just write it out until everything's out and out of your mind and onto something outside of yourself. Let what's inside of yourself be a flow state and let things come from there. And anything that doesn't want to be there, you don't want it there, put it on a piece of paper. Once you do that, you can look at it and then you can say, okay, that's a fear that's unfounded. That's a real thing that needs to be addressed. I had one of these, a few nights back. I just got up out of bed because my mind was racing. I'm in bed. I sat down, wrote out 13 things, and then went back and slept. Because so it's not in my head, but it's on somewhere where when I get up the next day, I can address those, right? So the third one, so trust, so truth, okay. The next one is understanding. When we build our knowledge and we build our ability to apply. So when we keep learning, when we keep learning and we have the ability to, when understanding also brings power, understanding brings the ability to positively make the right decisions and the right choices. But we learn so that we can understand, and then when we understand, we can apply. So another one then is time. So give things time. And I know in this world where everything is going so much faster, if you can slow down and give things a little bit of time, a lot of things will actually sort themselves out by just giving that space. There's a piece where so one of my pastor friends used to say, what the devil loves to do is, he says, hurry up and do something dumb. You know, like, hurry up and do something dumb. Get you to a place where you're in anxiety and you now make a move, and then later on you're like, why did I do that? You did that because you felt this compulsion. And if somebody's trying to rush you, if somebody's trying to hurry you up, just say, we got time. We got time. Slow it down. Take your time. A lot of things, especially in, because time in and of itself is an illusion. So don't let a stress state, all time is happening all the time. Slow things down and allow for a little bit of space, because a lot of things will be resolved with just a little bit of space. And the last one is apply the truth. The last one is the H, help. Ask for it and give it to others. So when you're in a position and you do have some uncertainty, there is nothing wrong in asking someone else for help, and there is nothing wrong with giving help to someone else that needs it in the time that they need it.
Best advice for kids ever. Just go serve somebody.
Yeah.
If you're confused.
So we when we help people, we are actually the ones who are also a beneficiary of that, and we receive a benefit of that. So in that, my time is up, and I thank you for yours. If you mind, we'll just close in a quick word of prayer, and we'll call it for this evening. Okay, Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you again so much for this time, and we just want to bless each and every one that's here and anyone that is listening online in the future to this, and we just ask that your word would be a blessing to their hearts and strengthen each and every one of us as we address the body, the mind, and the spirit in each and every one of us, and we are grateful for this time, and we're grateful for this time together. Receive it all with grateful hearts. In Jesus' name, thank you.
All right.